Good Monday morning. I'm Jake Sherman, and welcome to your Political Playbook audio briefing. Stay tuned after the show for a message from AARP.
And I'm Anna Palmer. We are 50 days out from the election, and the big question everyone is asking this morning is, can Brett Kavanaugh hang on? In normal times, Kavanaugh would be under tremendous pressure to abandon his bid for a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court. His accuser has spoken on the record, detailing allegations of sexual assault when they were in high school. But obviously, these are not normal times, and as of now, that is early Monday morning, Kavanaugh is still a nominee for the highest court in the land. Republicans say they are still weighing their options and will figure out if there is a path forward today. And yes, we are acutely aware that this entire situation can change at the drop of a hat.
Republicans of the Senate Judiciary Committee put out a statement on Sunday at 3:03 saying it is disturbing that these uncorroborated allegations from more than 35 years ago during high school would surface on the eve of a committee vote after Democrats sat on them since July. Now that Ford has put her name to these allegations, it's going to be tough to dismiss them. President Donald Trump has not publicly reacted to the news on Kavanaugh. His team is back-channeling that he'll continue to stand behind him.
Let's break down the options a bit. If Kavanaugh hangs on, if you are a Democrat, how do you vote yes? Part of the deal with Kavanaugh's nomination was always that it would put red state Democrats like Joe Donnelly of Indiana, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota, and Doug Jones of Alabama in a tough spot. They are in a tough spot no longer. They have ample reason to vote against him, and if they even consider voting for him, their base will go crazy.
If you're Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, how do you vote yes? It seems completely unrealistic that these two female senators can ignore or minimize the charges against Kavanaugh. Collins and Murkowski are again the two most important people in the Capitol. Retiring Senators Jeff Flake, a key vote on the Judiciary Committee, and Bob Corker have both come forward and said publicly the Senate should pause on trying to push Kavanaugh through. Flake is critical since Republicans have an 11-10 majority on the committee, though Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell could bypass a committee vote and bring Kavanaugh's nomination straight to the Senate floor.
If you're McConnell, the squeaky clean, fairly easy Supreme Court nominee just made life a lot more complicated. McConnell's political legacy will be his dogged pursuit of getting more conservative justices on the bench. But McConnell knows his members as well as any political leader. And if the Kentucky Republican gets the sense that this is too tough of a vote for his members to take, he's not going to go through with it. And he also certainly is not going to put up a Supreme Court vote that isn't going to pass. Now, if Kavanaugh drops out, will become very tough for McConnell to get another Supreme Court justice on the bench this Congress. Squeezing one through in October seems nearly impossible. The nomination will be kicked then to a lame duck session of Congress. And if Democrats gain in the Senate or take the majority, how can McConnell get away with pushing it through then?
Of course, there's an impact on 2018. Republicans have made putting conservative justices on the court a major issue for their base. If Kavanaugh goes down and a seat on the Supreme Court is open, look for this to be a major issue in the 2018 election and a call to action to rally conservatives to the polls in November. Maybe the White House will listen this time and nominate a judge that McConnell suggests.
Here's the latest on Florence. The AP is reporting that Wilmington, North Carolina, is cut off from the rest of the state by still rising floodwaters. The spreading disaster has claimed at least 17 people's lives, and more damage is expected in West Virginia all the way through Ohio. And Reuters is reporting that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has nearly doubled the promotions of top American diplomats as he tries to restore ties with a demoralized workforce.
The Post has a story up about colleges seeing a surge in applications for journalism schools, and the FT has a story about how MBA programs are on the downturn. On the 2018 midterm, Stephen Shepard and Tyler Fisher report on a new Politico AARP poll that found voters in Ohio generally having positive views of international trade, but just 25% say they want the U.S. to take a leading role in world affairs, and 46% say the U.S. should play a major role, but not leading role.
And here's what's on tap for Trump's Monday. The president is meeting at 11 a.m. to receive an emergency preparedness and response briefing. He will have lunch with Vice President Mike Pence. In the afternoon, Trump will participate in the inaugural meeting of the President's National Council for the American Worker. At 5, he will host a Hispanic Heritage Month celebration. He is also having dinner with supporters for the NRSC at 7:15 p.m. before returning back to the White House. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.
Today's episode is sponsored by AARP. Will 50-plus voters decide the Ohio midterms? The latest issue of Politico magazine's series, The Deciders, is examining working-class voters over 50 in Ohio who are feeling economic anxiety and could decide the gubernatorial and senatorial elections this November. Visit politico.com/thedeciders to learn more and to view the latest Politico AARP poll results.